questions. They have plagued humanity from the dawn of our ancestors to each of us breathing on this earth today. The only thing more important than answering what questions we can is keeping them a secret. Join me, an average Joe, on a journey to uncover answers which ail us in our own way. Such as, when did pillows change from quills to stuffed spongy material? Welcome to the Joe Van Secret Podcast. This is episode 23. With me today is guest 5. Guest 5, please say hello.
Hi.
Now, I've never actually asked you this question before, but could you please tell the audience your first and last name?
Mambo Number.
Mambo Number is Number your middle name?
No.
Hey! That's something. Yeah. I'll take that. Hey, on to the beginning segment before the questions. Hey, what? I don't know. I tried something. I don't know. Come on. First fun fact. You burn more calories eating celery than it actually contains. So I've known this for a long time because I was often accused as being short and thin.
What?
By all of my relatives.
No.
Yeah. They, that was like a serious thing. Like, my mom was making jokes saying, like, you're eating too much celery. Like, you're thin enough already. Obviously, you look at me nowadays, you wouldn't say that because I'm like 200 pounds of muscle.
Both of those comments surprised me. Never would imagine people saying that to you.
Yeah.
You when you're younger. Also, the fact that you're... What is almost 200 pounds? Put me within 10 pounds. What do you weigh?
Like, what? it variants, but it's always within 190 and 200. So, 198. I'm 6'2", so you got to keep that in mind. Yeah, I'm a big boy.
Big man, 6'2".
That's right.
No, whatever.
Eventually, I'll pass that threshold, and that's only going to happen when I'm fat. Of the 200.
You've already touched it.
I don't pass it. When I pass that threshold, you know, even if it's by 1 pound, because honestly, that's what it is. It's 190 to 198,
199. On a regular weigh-in, within your regular range, you're like, this is 190 or 199.
No, my lightest is 190, and that's usually, like, for the past, I'm going to say, honestly, 5 years.
I thought you were going to say
it's been
190 for the past, like, maybe 6 months, because of those vegan tricks you're trying.
It's not tricks. It's just, yeah, I did a vegan one-month challenge for 2 months, but no, like, it's, I'm going to say... The last time I was actually light was when I was
when you were bright.
20. Hey, light has no weight, so that's a good analogy, I guess. But no, when I was working at a company called Davy Trees, whom Guest 5, I think, has referenced in the past. So it's fine. Nobody knows who you are. But it's a widespread national company. When I worked there, I think I weighed like 170 or 180, but that was back in 2013. It was also 2014, but I gained weight since I actually started checking, and since I started checking, because the house I live in doesn't have a scale, I've consistently 190 to bridging that 200 gap. Yeah, I'm a big boy. We're not done the fun facts, though. This is just the intro. Another fun fact for you. A jiffy, if you've ever heard that term before, okay, is a scientific name for 1/100th of a second.
No.
Yeah, a jiffy. It's that's actually measured. It's measured.
Surprising. That's a unit of measurement?
Yeah, it only became slang after it was, you know, The scientific field.
Instead of being like, I'll be back in a jiff, you could be like, I'll be back in like six jiffs.
I'll be back in like a billionth of a jiff. Yeah. And the final fun fact for this episode is that almonds are actually a member of the peach family.
Obviously, how else would you milk them?
Okay, so that's a good point, I guess, is that they gotta have something to milk, because there has to be something there other than a dried nut. Other than a dried nut. I know it makes no sense, but...
Your rebuttal makes no sense.
You would think so, but if you were to ever Google image almonds, like, actually attached to whatever they come from, because I don't know if it's a bush or a tree.
It's a tree.
It's a tree? Almonds look like mushroom people. The bottom of them is attached.
They kind of sprout.
It's a sprout, okay.
Sort of, but they're the fruit above the ground on the vine, you know? So yes. There's this really cool documentary. It's not very long. It's like a mini one. You can find it on YouTube. It's about the whole, I don't know if horticulture is the right word, but like it's from one man's perspective. His family's been in the business of making almond milk for generations now.
Yes,
and he talks about like, you know, how the business is. You know, it's just business.
The ABCs, like, yeah. The essentials, the basics, because obviously common people don't know this. I didn't know until I looked it up. But it's weird. You don't expect plants to come the way they come. Like, when people think of chocolate, they don't think of beans, you know? Cocoa beans?
Cocoa beans, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but people, like, would never even think of that, right? They just think of chocolate as being bars.
Comes
common life. People. The average Joe who's never researched this, you know? They think of a bar of chocolate. They think, I don't know, I don't even know.
Yeah, they just don't think beyond it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, these things are cool, you know, plants, boriculture, everything in between. It's awesome. But there you go. There are your fun facts for this episode. Now, on...
Asterix.
Look up stuff.
No, yourself. I'm just putting an asterix after facts.
Oh, okay.
I made a lot of false? Things up right
oh,
there.
Oh, okay. No,
just kind of rolled with it. So.
Sure. Yeah. But what I took from the acclaimed app known as Facts. I call them fun. Sometimes they're not fun, but it's always important not to just take what someone says, but to view and source other...
do your own research.
Yeah, other fields.
Well, if something interests you, don't just take it at face value. Do your own research.
Yeah, that's the most important lesson, if anything, that anyone could learn from this episode personally, is facts are only facts if they're peer-reviewed through the scientific community.
It's... So if hard for something to be a fact, even,
peer
even
reviewed,
through that process.
Like, it gets sometimes it gets amended, it turns into something new.
Like,
we didn't know what gravity was for a long time. We had a basic theory, but it wasn't until we actually measured gravitons in the 1980s that we could solidify that gravity was a real thing. Before then, it was a theory. So yeah, it's important.
Evolution's
facts are important.
A theory, too.
But it's mounted on, it's on
still,
a mountain of evidence.
Still a theory.
Exactly. Since we weren't
Which
there, we can't.
I don't know.
So, yeah. Facts
even,
are important.
Even the laws that we have. Technically, indisputable facts within physics. The inertia.
The whatever happens when you spin too fast, what's that called?
What?
When your eardrums get out of sync and you lose balance. What's that called when it happens in the brain?
That's an equilibrium.
Yeah, your equilibrium. Balance. Yep.
That's just you being off balance.
Inertia, unbalanced.
No, inertia is
vertigo.
The law that once something is put into motion, it will continue at that same rate unless acted upon by other forces.
So thermodynamics? Is similar to thermodynamics?
I'm not smart. I'm drawing on things I remember from
back in the day.
Mid-high school.
Yeah.
But there's...
Thank God for high school. Imagine if high school didn't exist. Fuck that world. A university and colleges should be free to those who have the actual smarts to get
Some
through.
Some countries do that.
Not Canada.
No.
Where we reside. God damn well, you.
Also,
I guess we got there's troubles.
A lot more bursaries and things like that available than people are actually aware of. Because the relationship between a guidance counselor at a high school and the students at the high school here is very different than it is in Europe. Like, through talking to other people, I've heard that in Europe, they're much more active early on with every student. So they can, you know, get to know you, see what your interests suggest, as well as how your learning behaviors are, and they can help orientate you earlier on so that you don't have to go through this whole process of feeling lost to finally realize what you want to do. But by that point, you're in stupid amounts of debt.
And you're out of the system. Now you're just
alone. What do you mean?
The system of education. When at that point, you're in serious amounts of debt, after you've done 4 years of something, now realizing it was never your subject of field.
Focus. Well, like my academic tale, if you will.
Hit us up.
Like what I'm doing now is absolutely,
it's very, I was gonna say
in no way related to what I'm doing now. And
Postgraduate
mental pursuit, if you will, cognitive tasks you have to do throughout the day. Everything is entirely different, but there are principles and things I learned through my university education was tailored around that I can apply to what I do now. Okay, so I went for kinesiology, studied biomechanics and physiology and sports medicine, and et cetera, basically, the science of human movement is what kinesiology is. What I'm doing now, not...
Barely related. It's still related, but barely. But
my field has been referred to as industrial athletes by someone I know. I'm not.
You're not setting this yourself.
I'm just saying.
By word of mouth. Yeah.
And that makes total sense because you're pushing your body very hard every day for very long periods of time every day. And so applying things I know from what I learned in school, I'm able to elongate botchocyte from the start.
You got it. It's
like so that I can be in the field longer doing what I'm doing, so my body doesn't wear down as fast.
Yeah.
And although I know these things, I'm an idiot.
Instead of
dealing with injuries.
Well, here's the difference.
I put this pressure on myself where I can't afford time off work, so I have to keep working. And then I tell them, like, hey, I have these problems. Yet accommodating work for a couple days, but then, like, it seems fine, right back into doing what you're doing. But the only reason you seem fine is because
your body has got to that
it's
point.
It's starting to heal when you throw them back into it. So it's, like,
it's only starting to heal.
Back to where it was.
Okay, so here's what I'll give you is that You are a very educated man when it comes to the human body and what it does and how it fails. No. You studied for a long time, for years, a lot more than me. But the difference between study, the difference between theory, the difference between being a third party to someone who may or may not have bodily mishaps, that you're the active participant. So imagine an athlete that went to school for kinesiology and then was also tasked to save his own life, you know? When you're in that state, you have different things on the line. So imagine a football player, just to make the most obnoxious, allegory to it, like instead of being someone at Davy Trees, you're a football player, And then you hurt yourself and you're the one to tend yourself. And then you go, I know exactly what's wrong with me. But emotionally, you're like, I want to get back in it. You have different stakes than someone who's a third party.
Professional athletes.
Obviously different. That obviously
might
different.
More so be the case because they have this possession type force that drives them.
Yeah.
I like what I do. I enjoy what I do. It keeps me in shape. It's an exciting job and it's challenging.
Yeah.
But it's hard on my body. When I get hurt, I'm not like, oh, I want to get back to it as soon as I can. There might be times where me doing modified duties sucks and I'm bored, but I'm not like, oh, I'm just going to start doing it. Because if I don't take that time to actually heal, this is my career.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not opposed to making a grandiose change at some point. But like for now, in the foreseeable future, this is my career. So if I don't take the time to actually heal, like my body feels broken and I'm not even 30. If I don't take the time to heal, that's going to get exponentially worse.
It's just permanent. It doesn't even have to be exponential. You could have one injury and then that's just, it just stays that way where you now can't do something for the rest of your life. So it is serious. What you do is serious. And for those who, it's kind of like that situation with like cashiers. You're in a grocery line and you've been a cashier before and you see someone being a dick to a cashier and you have that sort of empathy that other people might not have where it's like, don't be a fucking dick. They're trying their hardest.
Yeah, well, that's a good example of empathy.
Yeah. And then when it comes to what you're doing, though. It's like what you're doing, you're hurting your body, but you're doing it for a cause. You're doing it because you're getting paid and what you do benefits you, not in injury wise, but in physical activity wise, it does. So there can be that sort of reactionary, you know, save yourself, goddammit, kind of sensation where you could get an office job with the knowledge you have working at this business for however many years you've done it. Yeah. Okay, how about this? Yeah. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because what do you have to say?
I appreciate your effort to kind of like overview, not overanalyze, but analyze
somewhere
in an overviewing
general
way.
Yeah.
Of what I've described, but that's not it.
I obviously don't have the full picture.
No, seriously, I just do it to get paid, whatever. Like
that's not true. It's a community.
I get paid decent enough that I'm able to
circumnavigate your life.
We'll go with that, sure. But I mean, why I do it is because out of the options that are out there of things to do, you need to do something to generate an income. Because as much as it would be awesome to do anything you wanted on a whim, anytime you wanted, unfortunately, the way society is structured,
you're responsibility.
Yeah, you have to find something to generate income for yourself so that you can live in a way that doesn't feel as underwhelming as others.
Yeah.
I was gonna say as overwhelmed with stress, but I feel like just
underwhelmed.
A life underwhelming kind of more nails to point home. So that's why I feel like you want to find something that you can do to generate income, but that's just the beginning.
Of course.
Something that you can view as not just a job, so that you're not going to work every day you wake up. You're going to do something that you want to do.
You actually want
to. If you can find a purpose that can provide
day-to-day satisfaction, at the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
find ways to be proud of yourself doing things that you do because you want to do them. even if it means a slight compromise of doing things because you have to do them, as long as those are just like
the stepping stone
highlighted notes of, you know what I mean? Like,
the milestone.
I am bitter and like pissed at work all the time. But
sure,
end of the day, I'd much rather be doing what I'm doing than sitting in an office all day or selling things to people all day. And I'm a fairly decent salesman because I'm not.
Not that we would bash that, of course.
I'm not retarded. Like, I'm
mentally deficient.
No. I'm sorry for using the term retarded.
No, actually, another fun fact. In America, they still use that term in medical sciences. They say, I'm sorry, your son is mentally retarded.
Well, that's just America.
That's America for you.
It's not America. It's just America.
With the M.
Possibly the first letter.
I do have a question for you.
Well,
if you're ready.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you going to remember what we were talking about, though, so we can come back to it?
Yes, I do, because I'm kind of scared, because it actually does involve one of the other questions.
Okay.
So if you're ready. This one's actually basic. You don't have to get ready for it. What is your average work week? You got a Monday to Friday job.
Yeah.
You work from 7 a.m.
to 4 or 5? 7 to 5.
7 to 5. It's physical labor, and it's hard labor. It's not the same as being a plumber. You're exerting. You're sweating constantly.
That.
What? No.
You're
sweating constantly. No. I'm not trying to denounce plumbers. I'm okay, so I'll use something. I don't want to use an office job because it's too obvious. I'm saying, what's another labor job? Plumbing. Or roofing. Do you think roofers work harder than you? I would think maybe.
That's
sometimes. A hard contender. Yeah, that's all right. Okay, so
I'd say
roofing,
that's
tree work.
I'd say that's a depending on the day.
Like, yeah, that's the gray one right there. Hmm. So in your words,
what's in your my words, week? What
is your average work week?
Like, what does it entail as far as duties?
Like, you've done this a while now, so it's become routine.
Oh.
You know, a quick summary of Monday to Friday.
All right. 9 hours Monday to Thursday, 4 on Friday. We get 44, because that's max before overtime.
That's good.
But that makes it nice for the end of the week. Because then you have the short day to look forward to. But basically, you come in. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. You come in, load your trucks, form and get their work orders. You do a vehicle inspection before you leave the yard, just to check that the truck's all up and up. We got a couple different sizes of trucks at the yard, but I only have my G license, so I don't drive the bigger ones. There are trucks that you need your DZ or your AZ. I stick to the low guys, which is perfectly fine with me. Then you go to work. Usually when we leave the shop, we'll go stop at either one of two Tim Hortons for coffee, depending on what city you're working in, what direction. And then, you know, you go to work. You do what you gotta do. If you're gonna be at one job site all day and you didn't bring food, maybe you buy your lunch in the morning because you're not gonna leave to go anywhere. Also, climbing sometimes, you don't eat all day because if it's a big removal or something, you're not gonna come down 60 plus feet just to eat something and go back up. Whereas you could keep going in a rhythm and get it to a point where you don't have to go back up.
It's task-based rather than hour-based.
It's very task-oriented, yeah.
Okay, so here's the next question.
Okay.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years? So whether or not that's related to the job you're currently doing, right?
It's not.
It's not.
I said that pretty abruptly. I don't mean like it's not, like, I don't have nothing to do with it. I mean,
not that there's anything wrong with it.
I really can't say. Like.
But you figure the workload plus also your own aspirations. Like, does any of that have to do with it? You got to remember, you're anonymous.
What do you mean?
Like in 10 years' time, you're going to be how old?
No, what does the word anonymous mean?
You are anonymous. Okay, just in case.
Yeah. So, I don't know. As long as I'm not constantly in pain, like I am now, or worse than I am now, I can't say, like, I like this work, but I also don't want to, like, live this way. Like, it's so hard to get out of the bed. As soon as you become awake, like, depending on how you're sleeping, like, everything hurts. This pain runs from my skull down to the middle of my back, across my whole one shoulder, over my chest, and over my back.
And but you would never take an office job. It is the big, you know, sort of mental battle you got to deal with, where it's like
I would never shoot for it. Like, yeah. If I ended up with an office job, it would be because of circumstances that I can't foretell right now.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll give you something. You're extremely talented when it comes to artistic endeavors. So you've only pursued, I'm going to say, 3 that I've noted so far. So we talked about it in podcast episode 13, which was your painting. But something we never talked about was your music and also your sketch work. So are there any other forms of artistic endeavors that you've sort of tried to get into? Whether or not you pursued it to the same extent as the other 3, because obviously sketch work, depending on the person you talk to, it's like, I've gotten into sketch work like super hard. That's one of the easiest ones to get into. Painting, that's a lot harder. And you excelled at that. You're an A+.
I think I'm pretty creative when it comes to certain ideas that I have, or things I want to create visually, whether it's sketching, painting, pastels. But I'm not extremely skilled. Like, I'm pretty good when it comes to sketching, because I like to experiment a lot with, like, different ways of shading and stuff like that. So I end up making things look pretty cool. As far as painting goes, I'm not very knowledgeable or technically skilled. Like, I have cool concepts and images I want to create, and if I want them done in color, I probably would be able to do it really cool with pencil crayons, but I just feel like there's something about painting that...
It has to be a first time.
Well, it's so different.
Yeah.
And the way you move with a brush on a canvas is so different than it is from a pencil and paper. So the fact that I'm able to, I kind of like halfway meet my ideas. Like, if I've sketched something out before and I want to paint this, I won't be able to paint it the same way or in the same detail that I've drawn it. Yeah. So I'll kind of meet myself halfway. I mean, as I'm painting, I can't do that. And as I'm thinking, like, oh, how can I do that? I'm like, or I could do this.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, painting's quite different. But there's also,
how would you take your musical?
Oh, my music's pretty garbage. I enjoy it. I find making it very therapeutical. Therapeutic.
No. Therapeutic is not a word. That's more than enough of a reason to get into music. Or to get into arts in general, right? Most people use it for therapeutic purposes.
Right.
So the one thing that I would place towards you the most is not just your paintings, but also your music. So you say your music's trash. When I listen to it, I literally listen to a, like, pre-Kanye. And I know that sounds fucking douchey,
it's hilarious.
But when you think of what he does, So he was a college dropout at first. Fact, he did drop out of college at first. I do not know if he got back into it and graduated. I'm going to guess he did, but I don't know. So that's going to be a fact check. But he experimented with music the same way that you do.
No.
He just did that way earlier. He experimented with sounds, right? But he also had the culture and he had the rap. But the music itself. So you got a little snap. You Snapchatted me. That's sorry. Okay. That's fine. But anyway, your artistic endeavors are not wasted so long as you just do it. Literally.
Nothing's ever wasted as long as you do it to do it.
Exactly. Hey, look at that. You're reading my thoughts, and you're probably wondering why I even said it in the first place. For the audience. Right, you and I may know this, but for the audience, they might get discouraged. They might think they don't want to do this anymore. Don't stop pursuing the arts. It doesn't matter if it's just a hobby. You shouldn't get discouraged because of that. It's extremely important to find ways to express yourself in extremely creative ways.
Yeah.
Right? For you, it's with sketching. It's with painting. It's with music. For me, it's with writing.
With any media, whether it be audio or visual art, even, you know, like dancing is an art. Yeah, I don't know what type or the presentational.
Whatever.
Different medias, don't ever get discouraged by how other people react to it. Do it for you.
That should be the top priority of why you do it.
A post that was very similar to that today. It was like one of those word memes and just a quote but a picture. And it was like, don't ever stop making art because of how people receive it. Make art because of making art. That's not a quote. That's a total misquote. But it was something like
what do they call that? Paraphrase. That's a paraphrase. That's true.
It's polite. Thank you. Yeah.
Now this next question I have for you. It's hopefully it brings positive results, and that's what I want from it.
What?
I feel like we already answered it without answering it, so I'll ask it anyway, and you'll probably just say, yep. Who are you, really? What's behind the mask that you show the rest of the world? I think it's literally your art. Because what do you do when you're alone? You produce art, you're with your girlfriend, you masturbate. Yeah, but that's the true you, right? Like, so I think that's what it is.
I don't know.
Look at all these paintings surrounding us in this room. So, yeah, I think we already answered it.
I'm everything.
That's a better answer.
I'm God.
So long as you're not cocky, I'll watch your ego.
No, that's I'll elaborate. So I am God. Mm-hmm. So are you. So are they.
My girlfriend.
So is them.
Upstairs,
God downstairs. Is everything. I don't mean when I say I'm God that I'm above anyone or better than anyone.
The ultimate authority. That's not what you mean.
It's... I was going to say polar, but it's not the polar opposite of that. It's the exact middle ground of the polar.
Yeah, it's the exact middle. It's
no, that's just the way I see things. So who am I? I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a lover, I'm a boyfriend, I'm an artist, I'm a poet, I'm a musician apparently, I'm a painter,
sure.
I'm a sketcher, I'm a tree climber, I'm a midnight toker.
Are you a fighter in any of those? Actually, okay,
I've been in fights before, but okay. I don't like fighting.
Me neither. I've only ever defended or ran from a fight. And I have no problem talking about that because there was one time, this is a short story. There's one time I was, But aside from that, later in my life, 2013 or 14, even 14.
Tomorrow?
No. No, that's a good story too. I might tell that another time. But this time, my story is I went to see a friend at his college. He was a guy, so he was just a friend. And now there's nothing wrong with him anymore. But I meet up with him. We're drinking. We go to this house party that's down the road. We go there. I've had many shots of tequila. And for whatever reason, you know, everybody has a thing. It's kind of like having like a taste in girls. It's like everybody has a thing. When it comes to alcohol, my thing is tequila. And when I have tequila... So for the audience, when I have tequila, I start playing characters. I be other people, and I've never done that with any other liquor. Like I've literally whiskey, vodka, rum, anything. I'm just silly or drunk or stupid. But with tequila, for whatever reason, I like produce this persona about
full on characters, not just like accents.
No, full on characters. I literally, so one time I was like in the army, another time. So at this party, I was gay. Again, not that there's anything wrong with that. If anything, that's something to be proud about. But so I was pretending to be a gay boy, other than myself. And I was dancing with all these girls. One of the girls' boyfriends literally grabs me by the collar, pulls me outside, and he's like, "You fucking faggot," and literally punched me in the face until I dropped.
Not because you were dancing with his girlfriend.
But because I was a gay guy that was dancing with all the girls. And he's like, "You fucking quit." Like, he grabbed me out of the bunch and just punched me, I think, 5 or 6 times. So he had a weak fist. It's like, if he was good at what he was doing, I would have been knocked out. But instead, he was a fucking little pussy bitch. And fucking had to hit me several times before I actually fell over. Maybe it was because I was drunk.
He actually fell over.
But, like, because I wasn't fighting back. I was in shock. I was like, wait. Like, because I don't have a fighting bone in my body. I was like, what's happening? And then I just went down. And then after, I was like, we got to find this guy and bring him to justice. So like, because my friend had gone back to his apartment, which I was sleeping over at, because this is at, like, 1 or 2 in the morning. So I go back to him, and I said, I just got knocked the fuck out. Let's go find this guy. So let's go. And I'm like, it's some guy in a blue cap. You know, let's try to find him. And we never did.
Yeah, it's like for a guy wearing the same clothes the next day.
Exactly. And he takes it off. I have no idea who it was him. I felt terrible about that, though, because I felt so bad because not that I was punched or beaten or anything to do with me, but just the concept that someone hates gay people so much they would beat the shit out of one of them literally made me depressed for like 3 days. It was so sad. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I have these things where it's like when I was a little kid and I found out that Freddie Mercury was gay, I was kind of weirded off by it. I was like, whoa, what? Like, he's gay? I didn't know what the concept gay was other than other. But I was like 9 years old.
At the same time you learned about Freddie?
It might have been.
Because otherwise you would have been like, oh.
He's gay. Yeah. Oh, he's a gay guy.
Elton too? Oh.
I didn't even know it all existed till I was like fucking 10 or whatever. But so I had this initial reaction to hearing what gay was as being like weird and other because I didn't know what it was like before knowing what anything was.
No. That's what queer means.
The other, queer, it means queer, right? It means weird different. Originally, yeah.
Gay meant happy.
Yeah. So gay men happy, like queer men meant weird.
I could be wrong.
No, that's what it is. So gay men happy, queer meant weird.
Just strange.
Or strange. Definitely. And then faggot meant a bundle of twigs.
That has a very dark history.
I don't know anything about it. The term faggot?
It's a bundle of twigs. No, stop.
Okay. Should we get
just
into it?
Just a censor warning. Your mouth's if you must.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the day when they used to burn witches at the stake, being gay was also illegal.
A crime, yeah.
So when they were building the bonfire to burn the witches at, they would throw in the gay people.
To make the fire
burn? With the bundles of twigs.
Oh, that's so messed up. That's
where faggot comes from. That's such a fucking
horrible That's such term. A dark history of that term. Oh, I'm never going to use that term again. I wrote that term in my fourth book. I said, Vivian grabbed a faggot of twigs.
Because
it's old English. I thought it was fine. But now that I know the history, I'm never going to use that fucking term again. Oh, that's messed up. I did not know that that's what people did. Yeah, that's fucking... It's making me cringe in my boots. It's not good. Okay. I'm sorry. Hey, time to move on. Okay, hey, this one, this is a curious one. I want to see how you react to this question. Okay. If you were given an envelope with which inside had a paper that dated your exact time that you die and how you died, would you open the envelope and look inside? Are you that curious? Or would you let yourself live in blissful ignorance till the end of your days?
That's so hard to answer. Because half of me is like, yeah, because then I could budget my time. Not even prepare. I could die any time, as messed up as that sounds.
Hit by a bus, whatever. Yeah, lung cancer, who gives a shit? You could die anyway.
I could die... No, just anyway is a bit of a reach. I could die anytime and just, like, I try to live life as if you never know when your last breath will be. So,
You're given this envelope.
If I'm given the envelope.
An old bald man gives it to you with a scary smile on his face and with rotten teeth. And he looks at you and winks and just walks away. Your first thought is to run after him and punch him in the back of the head. But at first...
No.
You touch the envelope. You feel it. It starts to tingle beneath your fingers. You know that something's deeper beneath it.
No.
Oh, the movie, what? The Box?
Yeah.
With
Cameron
Diaz and that actor who was Cyclops in X-Men.
Something.
You can get $1 million if you hit this button, but when you do it, it kills someone.
You don't know the person.
Yeah, but it kills them. And then later they end up being the person that gets killed.
Not knowing when I'm going to die, I love the way I look. Knowing when I'm dying might entirely change me as a person.
It would.
So I don't think I would open it. But also being human, I don't know if I'd be able to make the decision I just made when I actually in that
actually state. Presented with that option, yeah. Because you would be, your brain would be racing a mile a minute. You'd be acting way differently. But for the sake of this question, yeah.
What would you do with the envelope?
I'm gonna get to that. I'm just gonna start by saying, for the sake of this question, you're looking at this, with a complete theory mind, and you're gonna say, no, I'm not gonna open that box. Now, you never asked me, but, I'm gonna throw my own opinion in here. Just because I'm pretty sure I'm never going to ask anyone else this question. This is I picked this one out just for you because of your own philosophical outtake on life itself, that it is cyclical in nature. And when presented with something that is before its time, but still obviously natural and bound to happen, such as your own death, which for all of us, like, we all know it's going to happen. But, when I think of this question, I think I would open it.
Tyler!
What?
I was spaced out. I needed to restart.
Okay. I'll start with this. I'm just going to say, you answer by saying you'd rather live your life not knowing. Just in theory. I say in theory, I'd like to know. But obviously, if I was in that position, maybe I'd be too scared. I wouldn't know. But I think I would. I think all of us would, because curiosity is the death of humanity. Who knows? How about this? As a follow-up question, how do you think you'll die? Just yourself. Is it going to be like Stan Lee in 95?
Probably brain aneurysm.
You think brain aneurysm? Why? Are you flexing your skull a lot? What causes an aneurysm? Isn't it some sort of swelling? A sudden or a seizure. It's like something that, like, grabs
the organ. No. There's...
What is an aneurysm?
I might be confusing this with another term. Either an aneurysm or the term I'm confusing it with, one of the two, is that you have a stroke in your brain, kind of. Like one of them is where there's a clot and it cuts off blood flow. The other one is where a blood vessel
Pops.
ruptures.
Oh, okay. One of them is a stroke. The other one is an aneurysm, right? It can be a clot in the heart, a clot in the head, right? Because you
Okay.
can have an aneurysm in your heart.
So a
A
stroke
stroke
is
or an aneurysm.
probably the clot, and the aneurysm, I think, is the bleeding.
The rupture. Okay. But this isn't a fact, so for the audience, look it up yourself. But this is our opinion. This
Absolutely.
is our
I could be
speculation. That's the
wrong,
term.
and his support could be wrong. We're just speculating.
Yes, this is a
Let it
speculation.
speculate.
Towards the audience. Okay, I've got another question here for you. What do you think? This one's a little deep, so get ready for it. What do you think are the best and worst qualities of human nature? We'll start with the best. What are the best qualities of human nature?
Love.
Love. Of course, that's so obvious. But specifically, you think it's compassion? Is it
Empathy.
empathy? Yeah. Like literally sacrificing yourself for
How
another human
many things?
being,
No,
putting
no, no,
yourself,
no.
well, okay, not in death. I mean, sacrificing like your time or your whatever, like putting yourself in harm's way for another human
Well,
being.
like yes, like that can be so misguided. I feel like morality, love, morality, and
I saw a video recently, which might relate to this a little bit. There was a little girl, and this is all like filmed through security cameras at this like gas station. There's a little girl walking through the aisles, and she is like starts to slow down her walk and then drops. And her mom is like walks over to her and like pushes her, and she doesn't get up. And she's like confused, looking around, and she's like, I don't know what's going on. And she literally like just walks out of the store. And then other people, like there's like this big black guy, like grabs the little white girl and is like shaking her and stuff, and she's not moving, and pushes her over and starts pushing on her chest and nothing. And she's like, he's listening for a breath, and there's no breath, and starts pushing and pushing and pushing. All these other people start showing up. They're all scared for her. There's like 10 people around her. And he like brings her, this unconscious little girl, over to the main counter, puts her up on the counter, and literally is starting to pound on her, just trying to make her heart start to beat again. And I like it, they never explain what actually happened to her, but she starts like she becomes conscious again after they do that enough. And the guy who's on top of her literally is like bowing down and crying, like he's like in such like relief and pain at the same time that she was actually, you know, able to live like with whatever happened to her, because she literally just stopped, and clearly she had stopped breathing because of the panic that the entire crowd started to have around her. And it was insane. It was one of those moments where it's like, whenever news comes up that shows that someone died or that someone got hit by a car or that traffic is busy,
It gets like a fraction of a
no
second
one,
pain
yeah,
then.
nobody ever covers these kind of stories. This wasn't covered. This was
Because
just a
it
YouTube footage.
doesn't generate fear and obedience.
Yeah, or at least it, people pre like people. Fr The way that attention is consumed is through fear, because our brains are wired for
Okay,
survival instincts.
so hold on. Like
And yet, when we see peace and love and we see these emotions come out for
my
other people.
when you ask this question, and my first like immediate
The
response
best and
was
worst.
love.
Yeah.
We're still on part one, obviously.
Of course.
My first immediate response was love. Does that not encompass empathy, compassion,
Yeah, that's the broad terminology.
understanding?
Yeah, it does. It's the ultimate word. It's the term to.
Well, no.
No, but it is. It's the term
In its truest meaning, encompasses those things.
all of the other fields that a human
That
person
I
can
feel like
experience.
there's something
Do you think there's
I
another
read
field?
in university as a
Yeah.
quote from this guy, and it was that love is the final stage of human evolution. Because it's looking at, like, how the consciousness has evolved.
Yeah.
And it was like, so, first, everything was just trying to survive, and then everything evolves and evolves. Yeah. To the point where now, as humans, we're not just trying to survive. We're not just trying to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can reflect on what we're doing and the impact of what we're doing has on the global sense. And we can build from that. And so the next evolutionary jump will not be physical. It will be cognitive, and it will be love. It will be a universal love. It will be everyone finally coming together to
realize
as a group uprise instead of trying to climb over one another.
With greed, that is.
Trying to form something with one another that is fluid and that is ever growing.
Yeah. That's the ultimate, you know, dream. Ideally. The ultimate path. Yeah.
Ideally.
So he,
what is the
okay, so the next one is the worst of human nature. So with the worst of human nature, I will give you this. So on your, I know. So on what you say about if we could all just come together and stop with the greed, here's what I will say. With some people, it's greed, right? With the Mongol, like with the 1% of riches, with the central banking system, with everyone in the, what?
Just call the 1% Mongols.
Mongoloids is the further insult that I was going to go towards, not Mongols.
That's, well, you're not like
that's a nation. No, that's not like the nation. No. The general term Mongoloids. No. But for all the greedy people, that's which is the most outspoken minority as far as taking from the world goes. There's this hidden 1% that is taking just as much, if not more, from the world, and that's psychopaths. Psychopaths are apparently almost 10% of the world's population. That's how common a human brain is to not have the right wiring and to be attracted to, like, blood instead of sex and to be attracted to violence instead of, like, pleasure. It's super weird, but it's like, so for every 100 people you pass, one of them could be a psychopath.
I've heard a statistic like that.
Mm-hmm. 1 in 100. That's fucked up to think about. And the concept is more fucked up because I semi-recently read a book called The Moral Landscape by Sam Harris, who is a neuroscientist. Mm-hmm. So he knows the brain, right? And yeah. he goes over the concepts of the brains. And one of the subjects that he has to touch when he talks about the moral landscape is psychopaths. So he brings up an example just to let people know what he means when he says psychopath, because most of us don't. Most of us live in a PG or R-rated world, which is not even close to the actual world. R rating for 18 plus, that is nothing compared to how disgusting and cruel the real world is. Like an X rating or like an XR rating would be a better example. There was an example of a man who had befriended a woman, treated her very nice, so much so that the two of them got married together because he was such a nice man, but the entire time he was doing it because she had a 9-year-old son. No, way worse than molesting. He would put like a bag over his head to suffocate him while raping him. He did a lot of shit. Almost killing him, and then while he's unconscious, doing other stuff to him.
Is this in Australia?
It might have been. I didn't get the country that the guy was from, but people are sick. So that's the worst of humanity, is a psychopath who would rape a 9-year-old child, and he did it successfully for 2 years before finally the wife, like, I think caught him because she was getting suspicious because the son was getting so quiet because he was obviously disturbed, because children don't know what the world is. So when something like that happens, they don't immediately run to the police. They think this is just what the world is. So they are extremely disturbed because it naturally feels sick to them, but they just keep doing it. Like, they just accept it. But anyway, so the guy eventually went to jail.
It's not that they just accept it. It's not,
they don't know that there's an alternative.
overpowered mentally and physically.
By an authority figure.
They'll get hurt if they fight back.
But then they're in school.
As well as mentally.
Yes, the mental factor.
Yes.
Cycle. Yeah.
Yeah, they start to just be like, oh, like,
there is no alternative. It's the no alternative. But anyway, so that's the worst of human nature. I don't know if you want to add to that, because that was pretty fucked up.
No, it's pretty disgusting. Yeah, I feel like
that's the worst. Obviously, there's the Catholic Church and everything that they do, because that's like that's in the thousands.
That's not
of boys being raped.
No, it's those are
new reports.
Different.
Yeah, so that is different, obviously, from this.
Differently. To be honest, I don't know if I can carry on with that question.
No, I don't
like,
want to. I don't want
like
to.
I
want to
move on. My own answer to that, but after yours, I'm a little disturbed.
Yeah, that was too much. That's too much.
All right.
Okay, so yeah, let's move on. Let's move on, please, for the love of God. First, for everyone listening at home, just so you know, I literally feel sick. Like, I feel this, like, just bulge in my throat after saying all that stuff. So I'm disturbed. I feel like my guest is disturbed. So I want to take things back a little bit by asking, if you were to go back in time, let's say 10 years, okay, back to when you were in high school, do you think that you would do all of the same things knowing what you've done? Or do you think that you would make a dramatic change in your life? Just in general, when it comes to little basic things, whether it's
there's
a driver's license, would you get an AZ? Moving out, would you do something like that?
There's two things I think I would change.
Yeah. Would it be those two?
What?
Getting an AZ and moving out?
No. One of them, I guess, would be maybe not getting into smoking.
Okay, that's a super, super important thing. Yeah.
But, like, I don't know, at the same time, I'm, like, in a weird struggle where, like, I enjoy smoking. I don't have a negative image of myself being a smoker. I like smoking. I know that it's on the opposite end of the cool spectrum nowadays. But that doesn't bother me.
It doesn't.
I know nowadays it's more antisocial, whereas back in the days it was more of a social thing. But that also doesn't bother me. Like, I don't know, I like smoking. I don't like the effects it has on my body. Like, I find myself short-winded at times. I find myself, like circulation problems. Like, leaning on my side for, like, very
a
short
minute,
period, whole
done.
Arm,
done.
No.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know.
Well, okay, so maybe,
that's
a good point.
Something
that's
else
point.
That I'm not going to talk about.
That's fine.
Only
that's
two
fine.
Things. I
But yeah, so the smoking thing, that's a good point to bring up, because, like, obviously, I've mentioned in this podcast before that I've smoked. Like, I started smoking when I was 15. And as far as smoking goes now, it's something that, like, I never said no to. Right, so it's not as if I've quit, because I haven't, but
you're just not a smoker anymore.
I'm not a smoker anymore.
Right,
yeah.
Which a friend who's done the same thing, he's like, how I quit was I didn't look at it like I'm never doing this again,
yeah.
But more so like I don't want to live like this anymore.
Exactly.
If I have another smoke here and there, whatever, no big deal, but I don't want to be living in this regimen all the time.
That's true.
And so that's sounds like exactly how you dealt with it too, and that's super cool. I'm not that strong.
Well, yeah, no, it's
there's
not
no
about
such
strength.
Thing as just one for me.
Exactly, no, but so there's no, it's not a quitting, or it's not a regimen. It's a philosophical thing. It's a mental thing, and there's that's the one thing, because there was a guy at my work
who
was like,
I
gotta quit smoking, and I was like,
that's what I meant.
I don't know what to tell you, because like it happened to me where I stopped becoming like a daily smoker. It's just
that's what I meant about strong, mentally strong. Like, you just have to make that decision and stick with it.
But
like, I
there's
remember,
nothing I can even tell anyone to do with it.
The gas station nearby where we are with like those Filipino guys, and the one guy, he was younger. I haven't seen him there in a little while. I think it was maybe just family helping out or something. But,
sure.
He's like, you know, I quit. It's been like a while. I'm like, oh, like, how'd that go? He's like, I just decided I want to stop.
Like, there's no
reason. It was easy. Reason. Once I decided, it was no problem.
Yeah, and
that's why I like it too much. The fact that I'm still struggling with, like, I should quit. I want to quit. It's a good idea to quit. I still like it too much to be like, I'm done.
Yeah. Like, forever.
Infinitely.
Okay, so now that we're rounding past the 1 hour mark, I got one last question for you.
Is it rock, paper, scissors?
It's not rock, paper, scissors. I wish it was. But this one, it kind of ties into the beginning questions that I asked you, if you can remember. So this one is, if you were to go back in time 10 years, how would you deal with things and would you make things different? Okay, not 10 years, let's say 20 years. When you're 7 years old, when you were to look back with, let's say, not the same memories you have, but the same type of mentality. Because your entire world is different when you're 7 years old. So when you're a child, your parents are in control of everything. Is there any sort of sensation that you had to demote things other than obviously your adolescence and adulthood? A basic concept. So if I were to wind this down to make it easier.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
When you're a child, right, you have certain mentalities. So if you were to imprint on yourself something that your parents should have done, like deal with money better or with relationships, anything like that, any of the basics, right, that you develop as a child, is there anything that you would take and hone in on with the mind that you have now? Because
so if I could consciously rewind my life, holding on to my knowledge now and my views,
but you're
and
a
rewind
7-year-old.
My life to seven.
You're a 7 year old. The basics for anyone when they're seven.
No, I feel like I would have
male relationships, female relationships, money, education.
No, okay.
Hone in more on that.
No, I'm fucking seven. So what I would have done was had a better relationship with my brother, closer in age to me, and what else would I have done when I was seven? Like, I can't think of much. I just know I was like a
you just relived your life.
Dick growing up, but like when I was seven,
you just wouldn't be.
No, okay, I would be fucking.
You'd be the
like,
wisest.
No,
kid in
I'd
school.
Be like Buddha if I was seven.
Yeah,
man. Okay, because the way I dealt with my anxiety when you're so you don't even know that it's anxiety at that
you're
point.
You're just having a feeling and
you're
you go,
constant,
like you just, yeah.
Well, I'm doing trust, but I mean, like, you're constant fear and stress and like social perceptions, like, oh man. So having a better relationship with my brother, plus all my other siblings at an earlier age, we're all good now. But starting that way back when I was younger, plus, oh, man, never giving in to peer pressure at any point because of how I viewed things.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows where I'd be now? I'd
be the prime minister.
Like, I don't get hung up on that because everything is what it is. No, I'm fuck politics. That's useless. I'd be a fucking...
That's true.
Be a...
the Elon Musk of Canada.
No, I'm not that smart. But I'd be, like, involved with those entrepreneurial... whether it be technological or scientific growths,
yeah,
and beneficial additions to society,
yeah,
I'd be on the fucking frontier.
Or even who's that one guy, Jason Silva? You could even just be a celebrity philosophical.
Oh, he has those YouTube videos.
Yeah. Just an inspirer. You could be an inspirer towards other famous people because people come to him. Like you know, you like.
Yeah, but you also still
impact the world in a positive way because millions of people.
Also, like you don't need to generate infamy out of it. You don't need famous people coming to you. As long as there's people hearing what you're saying, not just, oh, I heard this video, like hearing what you're saying, listening to what you're saying,
actually capturing
the message and processing it and applying it, whether they grow from that or not, the fact that that has factored into their decision, you've done your part. And I hope you can do the best you can do, because that's what I'm going to do.
Hey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right.